95.9 The Fox, First Thing Fairfield County. Good morning, I'm Alan Lamberti, and in the studio with me right now, I've got a very special guest from the Sato Project. It's Tracy Warren. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning.
So first things first, what is the Sato Project?
I am a lucky volunteer. The Sato Project is a wonderful organization out of Puerto Rico, which rescues and rehabilitates dogs that have been abandoned and abused. It was started in 2011 by a wonderful woman named Chrissy Beckles, who really drew attention to an awful location called the Dead Dog Beach. Not sure if you've ever heard of that.
But, I haven't.
Notoriously remote, locals would go there to drop off and abandon their animals. So whether they were elderly or sick, they would just abandon them there. So Chrissy was in the forefront of bringing that to everyone's attention. And has done just incredible things for animal rescue on the island, bringing education to the young people to make them realize, you know, you just can't abandon animals if they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
A big thing that we're involved in abuse situations, and spaying and neutering is actually the huge, huge thing that we do right now. We've partnered with the Humane Society America on a wonderful program called Spay-a-thon for Puerto Rico. And the ultimate goal is to spay and neuter and vaccinate 30,000 animals.
Wow.
So that is a big thing that we're working on now.
So what is exactly the name, the Sato Project? Where did that come from?
Sato is a slang word for street dog.
Oh, okay.
So, and people, you know, say it all different ways. Sato, Sato. But Sato is the correct way to say it. And it's not an endearing term. A lot of the locals will just say it in a very flippant way. So
this began in 2011.
Correct.
When did you get involved with the Sato Project?
I got involved probably 4 or 5 years ago. My family and I were on vacation in Puerto Rico, staying at a beautiful hotel, and we were just so distressed by the state of the animals that were on the perimeter of the hotel. And we just thought we have to do something about this. So I Googled, you know, some rescue organizations, found Chrissy and partnered with her. I'm on the board. And my family's big goal and contribution to the Sato Project is spaying and neutering. That is our big emphasis. So as wonderful as our Satos are, we'd like to see a huge decline in their population.
Is it all of Puerto Rico or just this one particular area? Did you happen to be near it in the hotel?
We happen to be near it. We really focus our efforts in the Yabucoa area.
Okay.
You probably don't know that.
I don't actually. I don't really know too much about Puerto Rico.
And we didn't either. We just went there as, you know,
just a family vacation.
A family going on vacation. So it was a great opportunity for us. But now I think it's rampant all over Puerto Rico, and especially after Hurricane Maria, the situation just became dire. So I think that's the impetus behind the Humane Society coming in and, you know, starting this incredible spay-a-thon.
So how exactly does it work? Are there volunteers that go down periodically? Are there volunteers in Puerto Rico how do they select the dogs? Like where, obviously if you refer to it as Dead Dog Beach, is it literally just like kind of like a beach of abandoned dogs?
Yes. And I have to say it's basically been eradicated because of our efforts.
Oh,
so
wow.
There's really not a lot of dogs there.
They got to change the name.
We do. It's a good thing now. It's a good place. But we do have a team of volunteers and actually paid people working for us down in Puerto Rico. People will constantly seek out Chrissy and you know, say we have a horrible situation, what can you do for us? You know, so that's one situation. Or she'll just be driving down the street and see abandoned animals and take them. We work with a few veterinarians down there who are amazing. And then we have a great group in Brooklyn who works with the adoption and placement of the animals in primarily the Northeast.
So the organization, the U.S., is based out of
Brooklyn. Correct.
But the dogs can be adopted by anybody, anywhere?
Yeah, basically. We like to keep them a little bit closer, so it's a unique situation if they go beyond the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
But no, for the right situation, we will adopt out anywhere.
Okay, that's cool. And where can they get more information? I assume you guys have websites, social
yes.
media, and everything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we're all over the place, thesatoproject.com. We're on Instagram, and we have an incredible Instagram. We're out there and we're really involved with Animal Planet's Puppy Bowl, which just happened in tandem with the Super Bowl. So we're pretty visible, I have to say.
You guys have had dogs in the Puppy Bowl?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Several.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's a great thing. Yeah, we're really, really involved. And just get wonderful, completely vaccinated, healthy, healthy animals that are sent up. We don't send an animal up from Puerto Rico until they're completely vetted. We know what their personality is like. So, it's a very well-balanced organization.
So before the dogs even arrive, they're flown up, I assume.
They are flown up.
Okay. On regular jets, are there private planes?
It's a combination. Okay. Sometimes they'll do, regular American Airlines, United Airlines, or sometimes we have pilots for paws. And as a matter of fact,
Oh, you can keep talking. We're recording this, though.
Okay. We have small private airlines that will help us out. Individual people who own their own planes will help us out bringing up dogs. So all over the place.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. How many dogs since 2011? We're at 8 years now.
Yes.
How many dogs have actually been rescued?
We are close to 4,000 now.
Wow.
Which is amazing.
Oh,
amazing.
Wow.
And the cool thing that I love the most about the Sato Project is that we will take on the most extreme cases. And sometimes people will come to us and say, wouldn't it be kinder to put that dog to sleep? Why invest money in this dog? And the cool thing about the Sato Project is that if we see that a dog has fight in him, has a desire to live, we will we'll do whatever possible to help that dog fight for his life. So we want to make sure that every dog has a chance to live.
How often are dogs brought to the United States? Puerto Rico is actually part of the United States.
Yeah,
I should rephrase that.
How
often are they brought to the mainland? Is it once a month? Is it once every 6 months? What's sort of the schedule?
Yep. This month, actually, we have, I believe, they're coming up every week.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah.
That's
small planes.
That's a lot sooner than I thought it was going to be.
A lot sooner. But we do typically have them once or, twice a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it about how many dogs at a time? Is there an
average? It varies.
It varies.
We have had transports that have had 150 dogs, which is really crazy. But I would say Esther, our transportation coordinator, would know better than I.
Okay.
But 5 to 10 dogs at a time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then once the dogs arrive, out of New York, I believe.
Correct.
Once the dogs arrive, is that then when they get, I guess, posted for adoption?
They're posted for adoption beforehand. So either the adopter will pick them up at the airport or we have an amazing foster network.
Okay.
So it's kind of 50-50.
Now, why, when the dogs, what ages are the dogs? Or is it any dog that is found that's abandoned?
Yes, Alan, it is any dog that is found that is abandoned. So we have no preference as far as age or gender or type of dog. We'll bring up anything. So we get a lot of puppies just mm-hmm. because they're the ones that are often abandoned.
Sure.
But we also get really old, sickly dogs that there's definitely a desire to adopt up here.
Now, if somebody does want to adopt, who do they reach out to? They just constantly follow you guys on social media?
Follow us, yes. We have a whole, on our main website, we have a page for adoptions that people could look into. So,
do we know how many are available right now, if anybody wanted to get a dog?
I don't. I think we have a lot available. We have consecutive, we always have dogs available.
It's a never-ending cycle.
It's a never-ending cycle, unfortunately, and we'd love to stop that. So,
sure.
As much as we love the process, we'd rather not be doing it. So spaying and neutering is really our biggest thing right now.
Now, I do know we have some special guests who
yes.
can't speak into the microphone because they don't know how to speak, but we have a couple of puppies that are here.
Yes.
Who do we have with us today?
So we have Ted and Allison.
Ted and Allison.
I know, really... really unique names.
Well, you're on your 4,000th name.
Right. So Ted and Allison are siblings. They were found without their mother. They are actually going to a home in Oregon.
Oh, wow.
Which is way out of our scope.
But hey, they're going to a home.
They're going to an incredible home in Oregon. They're very bonded. They're adorable.
So they're going to stay together.
They're going to stay together.
That's great.
They've just been given a wonderful chance. So...
How long ago did they arrive in the Northeast?
On Saturday.
So they arrived on Saturday, and when are they going to Oregon?
I believe they're going to Oregon this weekend.
Oh, so the two flights in 1 week.
I know.
Oh.
But they have the temperament, I think, to handle it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, seemingly,
I mean, fine.
Well, we were saying earlier, that they were just like, the way that they were sort of lounging, they don't lounge like a dog normally would.
No.
Especially, you know, we're in a radio station, they were in our kitchen, they were in our lobby. And, like, this is, obviously, they just came from all the environments in the past week have been wildly different for our dog.
Wildly.
And they were able to remain so calm.
Oh. I'll tell you what, these Sados are so well-tempered. They're so grateful. You know, they just kind of adjust to a lot of work atmosphere. So I think they'll be fine. But yeah, you're right. From going from Puerto Rico to New York to Connecticut to Oregon all in 1 week is a lot for a puppy. But they have a great temperament for it.
That's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So and they're not. I guess they're not trained, right? Because they are puppies.
Yeah, they're not trained.
So that's part of the adoption itself. Is
yes.
you're gonna get a new dog that you now have to take care of.
You do, and if they go into a foster network beforehand, mm-hmm. the foster really works with that.
Oh, certainly.
Yes. So, but you know they're so smart, they're so street savvy that they pick up things incredibly quickly.
Wow. We're talking with Tracy Warren from the Sato Project, and you can follow them on all social media and the SatoProject.org. This has been an absolutely incredible experience. These dogs are so wonderful, and what you guys are doing over there is just really, really great.
Thank you, Alan.
My conversation actually continues with the Sato Project. In the studio with me now is another volunteer from the Sato Project, Esther Hine. Good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
What is your role with the Sato Project, and how long have you been involved?
I am the transport coordinator. I have been involved since February of 2011.
Oh, so pretty much since the beginning.
Yeah.
Wow. So what exactly is the... Well, I mean, I understand what both of those words mean, but with regard to the Sato Project, what does that mean?
The transport coordinator?
Yeah.
Well, whenever a dog needs to be transported, that's me. If it needs to go from Puerto Rico up here for the commercial planes, like we just had a flight in this past Saturday, I book it. I arrange which airport it's coming into, whether it's flying United or American. And then once it gets here, I have to get it from the airport to either its adoptive home or its foster home. So I line up different transporters. I have a whole list of people who help me with that. They'll take it. For example, I have a gentleman who took a dog from Newark Airport into the Manhattan. I took three dogs home with me from Newark to Long Island on Saturday and dropped them off on my way home. And then also, while they're here, when they're in foster, sometimes we need to rehome a dog.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets into a foster home and the foster parent says, oh my goodness, it's really not getting along with my dog, or it hates my cat or something, we have to move it. So we'll have to get it from that foster home to a different foster home. Usually it's within the same town or same general area, but in the past I have had to take a dog from Massachusetts down to New Jersey, so that's a little more challenging. But then I either do it myself or line up somebody to come in and pick up the dog and then take it to where it needs to go. And then sometimes we'll have to take a dog from a foster to an adopter. If a lot of times we'll have an adopter who's on vacation or whatever, they'll have a meet and greet with the dog, and then they'll go on vacation or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird circumstance. And then so somebody has to bring the dog to them when they get back. So all sorts of different things. And the other thing that I like to call myself the crate supervisor, because when the dogs come up, they come up in a travel crate, a big plastic crate. And then once they get here, what do you do with the crates? They all eventually have to go back to Puerto Rico.
Oh,
so
wow.
Another part of my job is I have to clean the crates, pack them, which is more of a production than people actually think, and then get them back down there. In fact, tomorrow night I am taking 25 crates to JFK to ship down to Puerto Rico.
Oh,
so
wow.
For the next transport. So, yeah, so it's crates is a big thing, too.
Oh, certainly. man, that's so is this it, actually is that your full time job, then, the coordination of this?
Everybody
you're
in the
full-time volunteering.
Yes,
effort,
all
the least.
People in the Sato Project joke and say, yeah, I'm full time. It's sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. It depends on how often we're transporting. Like now in March, we have a transport every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm booking. I'm transporting. I'm at the airport. So, yeah, and I'm busy all the time. But then when we have the private planes, we've had a lot of private charter planes once a month. So really, it's only a once a month transport. So it's only that week before that I'm really busy. So then I technically have 3 weeks off. But I'm still doing other stuff, doing crates and all that other stuff. So, yeah, there's always something to do.
That's a big job. That's complicated.
Yeah.
There's a lot of facts and figures I wouldn't be able to keep straight. About how many foster parents are there for the Sato Project?
We started with probably a handful, but in the last couple of years, if not longer, we've built it up. So we've got over a couple dozen, if not more than that.
Wow.
Spread, and they're in Massachusetts, New Jersey, Connecticut. We have a couple in New Hampshire, obviously in New York and Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island, Westchester. So we've got quite a foster network now, which is really great.
And are you a foster as well?
I am. I've had, I think, 33, 34 fosters in the last 7 years.
Wow.
And I'm actually a foster failure. And that means that I had a foster and they ended up adopting her. So we have several foster failures.
Yep. It's such an odd term. For
yes.
Something
I know
that's
sounds
so like,
it sounds negative, but it just means that you fostered and instead of having that dog adopted, you kept it.
Understood. So, understood. Yeah. Well, obviously it worked. It worked out.
Yes.
It was the right fit.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
That's wonderful. How before getting involved with the Sato Project, since you've been there since the beginning, had you been involved with other adoptions as well? Had you always been a dog person?
I've always been a dog person, but no, I was a paralegal for 20 years.
Oh.
So I got into this because my brother and sister-in-law were vacationing in Puerto Rico, and they noticed all the stray dogs, and my sister-in-law, Lillian, sought out, okay, what's going on with all these dogs? And then she somehow got in touch with the Sato Project and with Chrissy. And Chrissy had asked her when she flew home if she could take three small puppies home with her in the plane. And I picked them up at the airport. So I'm like, what's with the puppies? And then so they were explaining to me the situation with the dogs down there and the Sato Project and whatnot. And I said, oh, that sounds interesting. I love to drive. So I contacted the adoption coordinator at the time. And I said, I like to drive. If you ever need a dog transported anywhere, let me know. So a week later, I got a call from her, and she said, well, we have a dog in foster in Manhattan who needs to go up to Massachusetts by Boston. Would you do that? So I did that, and that was a start, and I haven't looked back. So I've been doing it ever since then.
Wow. And it's got to be a lot more fun than being a paralegal.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
At the very
definitely.
Least. Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Esther Hine, the transportation coordinator for the Sato Project.
Thank you very much.